If you'd like to make your NFL games a little more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah! Vegas, baby, Vegas! And no, you know what? Steve's probably a sick enough guy that he'll probably actually have a line on the Pro Bowl and have a desire to bet on that. But no, it's not Senior Bowl week. It's not Pro Bowl week. It is the week after the conference championship games and the week before Super Bowl week in my mind, which is actually pretty cool because there's no game that we really have to get to and break down or no game. So it's a great time to discuss just Super Bowl wagers, betting line, all that stuff. RossTucker.com is always the hub for this podcast, although you should be able to find it iTunes, anywhere podcasts are found. If you search for Even Money, you should be able to find it. I'm Ross Tucker, former journeyman offensive lineman in the NFL for 7 years. Had a ton of fun. Good job in your 20s, that's for sure. At Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. He's Steve Fezzik. He's the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl of professional football betting. And he now is a handicapper and more professional bettor for pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter like I do, at Fezzik Sports. He's the guy that has all the answers for you in terms of what you need to be thinking about, what the sharps are looking at, how the public will go. I mean, he is the expert. I'm the novice that's getting into it for the first time and really enjoying it. Really appreciate any of you that choose to support the podcast in whatever way. You can make a PayPal contribution at rostucker.com. And forward it to us. We'll read your email right away. Or you can do Amazon if you need to buy something for whatever for your family. Just go to rostucker.com and they've got those banner ads there. You click on that one and we're all set there. And of course, spreading the word via social media. Brian's usually the first one to tweet it. He's at RTF Podcast. All that stuff helps. Really, really appreciate it. Before we get in all the Super Bowl stuff, I do want to go back over, Steve, last week. You know, there's only two games, so it gives us a better idea of how to actually break it down. And we'll start with Green Bay at Seattle. I put, you know, one unit on Green Bay. That obviously was looking great for me. And that ended up hitting. You and I both went on the under. It was a best bet, and we missed it because of overtime. Unbelievable. I mean, Steve, that is so frustrating. All we needed was any of about five things to happen, and we would have cashed in on the under. I mean, I know that's what gambling's about. I know that's what makes it tough, but oh, that was frustrating.
Probably the hardest play of all was, and I give credit to Russell Wilson. There's a lot of quarterbacks, especially those who've thrown four picks, when they have a hopeless two-point conversion attempt and they're flushed out of the pocket, they're back to their own 20, they just airmail it into the third row. And it's so frustrating as a bettor when you see a quarterback that values his personal stats over winning. And it was great to see him just throw a duck up to the end zone and a miracle, and somehow it got through and they scored the two, and that ultimately led to the overtime and the over.
Right, and that would not have happened if Ha-Ha Clinton Dix had just knocked the ball down. I mean, the onside kick, we go on and on, and people already have because they've gone on and on about how the Packers lost the game. All the reasons that the Packers lost the game are the same reasons why we weren't able to hit on the under. Now, you also had I don't know what it was called. You had some type of deal where you had Lynch over 90 yards for two units, Rodgers under 270 for two units, and longest field goal under 44.5. You did not hit on the longest field goal. Mason Crosby hit a long one, so you lost those two units. But you were exactly right on both Lynch being over 90 and Rodgers under 270. So you won on both those. How does that happen, Steve? I mean, is it a better bet a lot of times to go with some of those individual bets as opposed to the over-under or the betting line because there's less action on some of these individuals?
Well, if you know that if you can handicap a game, like the Rodgers under was really good because he really should have gone under in his game against Dallas, and he got 150 yards in the fourth quarter. And just the bookmaker set the line based upon his year-to-date stats, and they look at Seattle's defense, but they don't adjust for injuries enough. And I didn't think Aaron Rodgers was going to be even 70%. Turns out he was about 80%, but he wasn't 100%. So Green Bay was going to run the ball more, and ultimately that made it easy. And as far as the Lynch, I think that was the best bet ever, because the fact that Seattle is getting punked 16-0 and Lynch still gets as many yards as he did. Imagine if Seattle had played according to form, he would have gotten 200 yards.
Yeah, really. And then in the late game, Indianapolis, New England, I swung and missed big time on the Colts. I had them with two units. They were getting 6.5 points. That obviously did not come through for me. They lost the game 45-7, so I was way off. Samsonite. I was way off. By the way, Steve, do you know what movie that's from right there?
I don't.
Brian, do you?
I don't.
It's from Dumb and Dumber.
That's when
you know, he's trying to figure out the name of the lady he loves that flies out to Aspen, and he thinks it's Swanson, which is, by the way, what it was, but he checks the luggage, and it says Samsonite, and he goes, oh, man, I was way off. So, anyway, you guys both fail, so you're both down one unit for the jokes this week and for movie references. You had longest field goal under 44.5, two units in the Patriots-Colts game, and you hit on that one as well. That is like your go-to, man. I mean, that is your thing.
If the weather is cold, and ideally, especially in a situation like this, when I had Pagano and Belichick, two coaches I think are very good, they shouldn't be attempting 50-yard field goals unless it's the end of the half and they don't have any other options. And as it turned out, the Colts did try a long field goal, which they missed badly on, which I couldn't believe. I was throwing things at my screen. But there's luck involved, obviously, in all the props. But, I mean, Belichick's such a good coach. When he gets 4th and 4 from the 32, he's going to go for it every time in bad weather. And that's part of the handicap.
We also both put two units on both the Seahawks and the Patriots at 5-2 to win the Super Bowl. So that was a best bet. We both put two units on both the Seahawks and the Patriots. Obviously, we're going to cash in on at least one of those. So give me the math on that. So we're obviously going to cash in on one of them, and we're going to miss on the other one.
So
tell me how the math works there.
Yeah, we bet two units to win five on each bet. So we're going to win five on one of them, and we're going to lose two on the other, and we just booked three units each.
Nice! Three units, see? We know what we're doing. In terms of this week, Steve, I got some questions for you. We got one email we want to get to. But I want to start with the Super Bowl line itself. Because my understanding is that it was Seattle favored by 3 or 2.5 after their game. But then as the Patriots kept winning, or as money kept coming in on the Patriots, it went all the way to a pick 'em. So what is your understanding of how that happened and why that happened?
Well, I was betting it, so I should have an understanding of this. It actually came up at halftime. The first Super Bowl line I saw was at the half. And absolutely, New England was catching 3, and I made a bet on New England +3. Thought it was a good bet. Sherman was hurt. Seattle had underperformed, and I knew the look-ahead line had been 3. So I was like, okay, well, New England looks a little better than we thought, and Seattle looks worse. We'll grab the 3, solid value there. And then New England scores a touchdown. I'm like, well, now they're pulling away. They look great. I'm going to bet New England again, +3, lay 15. And they scored another touchdown. And I said, you know, this line's going to head to pick if New England blows out Indy, and I bet plus three late $1.25, which is now we're getting to where it moved to 2.5. One more touchdown, and it's 2, and the free-for-all is on, and the line is heading down to pick them. So it really was a reaction to how great New England looked in the second half, and it makes sense. You have to move the line for how well New England played. Now the question is, do you need to move it all the way to pick them? Probably not.
So my question about that, though, that's what I was going to say. I thought that they didn't, you know, and we've talked about this a couple different times, Steve, but it feels to me like in some instances they moved the line based solely on the money coming in. Other times, no matter what, despite the money coming in, they're still going to hold the line at a certain spot, and then they just change the odds. I'm confused.
Right, right. What happened is they don't want to get on or off three. So the book initially wanted to hold it to three. And so the first bet was at plus three, lay $1.10. And they took a bet plus three, lay $15. And then they took a bet plus three, lay $1.22. And now it's getting ridiculous, Ross, where it's like, they're like, well, three is not, that's the wrong number. We're not going to have to worry about getting middled on three because three just is, there aren't going to be any threes. This thing's going to go to two. And all the books just went ahead that had the lineup moved to two and then just kept moving. Once it was two, they took one bet, they moved to 1.5. They took another bet, they moved to one.
Right now, the over-under total is 48.5 points. So you locked in the Patriots getting 3 points?
Right. Now, everyone says, oh, well, so you like the Patriots. Not true at all. It was just a good bet. It was like, in stock market terms, imagine a stock is moving and you could buy it on some exchange at a better price. Who cares whether you like the stock or not? It's too good of a buy not to grab and then figure out what to do with it. So, well, now that the line's moved all the way to, in some spots, New England, and many spots, New England's laying one, I like Seattle. I think Seattle should be a very, very small favorite in the game.
I want to tell you, before we get into some of this Deflategate stuff, I want to tell you that PokerShop.com is simply the best place to find anything poker-related, casino-related. If you like placing wagers on football games, and my guess is a lot of you do, that's why you listen to the Even Money podcast, you probably like craps, roulette, various table games, poker, any of those things. You heard Steve last week talk about how important the chips are and how much of a difference it makes, and also just having chips just for your kids, just something to play around with, to flip around. I thought he made a terrific point. All you need to do is go to PokerShop.com. In the middle of the shopping cart at the bottom, put in the code Ross, and you get 10% off. They got a lot of cool items, by the way, for under $50. This is not necessarily a big expense. Now, you can get my favorite item, which are the stools and the bars, NFL license, but they got a lot of items for under $50 that are pretty darn cool, and then you get the 10% off, and you're in business. So go to PokerShop.com. They've been terrific partners of the Even Money podcast, and we like to show them a little bit of love.
Brand new this week at PodcastOne.com, PO'd with Dennis Miller and Adam Carolla.
Awesome!
The king of all podcasts, Adam Carolla, joins forces with iconoclastic comic legend Dennis Miller.
If you're asking me whose voice most closely mirrors what's in my head, it's this cat.
Great guests, great topics, and new listeners, always welcome.
So get PO'd now. I mean, download the show now.
Always available 24/7 at PodcastOne.com.
That's PodcastOne.com.
Steve, have you seen any movement on the over-under number?
There has been no movement at all, but one thing with the poker shop, I do want to mention that with these poker chips, you get a nice case with it. You can move to someone's house and actually bring the chips, and you will be the best friend of everyone at that poker game when you bring those really nice chips. So, no, the total has pretty much hung at 48. One thing that's happened, Ross, and this happens every year, everyone in Vegas bets the Super Bowl over. There have been more overs than unders, I think 25 overs, 22 unders, and Vegas always deals higher. So in Vegas right now, the total is 48.5 to 49. In the Caribbean and faraway places, the total is 48. And it's not unusual right before the game kicks off that you will actually see the biggest bettors playing under 48 in faraway places, whereas in Vegas they take really big bets on over 49. It's the strangest thing you'll ever see.
That is interesting. Speaking of interesting, I got a couple more stats that come to me from pregame.com, which is where you can find Steve's work, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. He'll tweet it out a lot as well. But the favorite has won 33 of the prior 48 Super Bowls. That's 69%. So we'll see if one of these teams becomes the favorite. Now, you've seen some places where the Patriots are the favorite?
Yeah, the Patriots have moved to minus one at about, I would say, two-thirds of the books right now.
Then, so they've won 69% of the time. How about this one? Only five prior Super Bowls have been so close that the spread was less than a field goal. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, this is Super Bowl 49. Only five have been so close that the spread was less than a field goal.
Yeah, we had some dominant teams. You look back on the Cowboys and, you know, what they were able to do, and the Broncos with Elway. Actually, that's a bad example. A good example early when the Broncos were getting clobbered by the 49ers, but in the first Super Bowl, of course, they were a 10.5-point dog against Green Bay in that game. But those dominant teams obviously were big favorites, and that was a big part of it with the 49ers and the Cowboys in the 80s and 90s.
NFL teams scoring 40-plus points in the playoffs, like New England did against the Colts in the AFC Championship game, are 4-23 against the spread their next game. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Is that just a reaction? Is that just the recency bias, Steve?
I think it's two things. I think look at what it did to the spread here. New England was catching three. Now they're laying one, all because of one big half of football. And I think as far as the players, Ross, you played. I think, let me ask you, when you guys just were clicking on all cylinders, all of a sudden maybe the players would get home right at curfew and just brimming with confidence, which was a good thing, but maybe it suddenly you might have a little bit of fun as well, feeling you're pretty invincible, right?
I think there's some truth to that, although that kind of brings me to my next question, which is all this stuff going on. Bill Belichick spoke, just before we recorded this. Tom Brady speaking later today with this Deflategate issue, the deflated ball issue. My question, Steve, is has that or does something like that have any impact on the line?
Deflategate hasn't had any impact at all on the line, and I think the Patriots and their team, they're used to distractions like this, and it really hasn't impacted them in the past. I will say this about Deflategate. My theory, I would have done this. Go ahead and take the balls and inflate them to the 13.5, whatever the minimum required is, in 90-degree heat. And inside, bring them out, get them tested. We're good to go. Throw them into the storage area. And by game time, when the temperature outside is 40 degrees, now they're not up to the standard quota that's supposed to be. But I don't really think you've done anything wrong. Theories. What do you guys think?
We'll see. We have to see how it all plays out. But, I mean, Belichick says that they inflated them to 12.5. The league seems to think that somebody let some air out of the balls. I mean, the ironic thing to me, Steve, is that Brady actually played a lot better in the second half after they were using regulation balls. After they found the issue and put more air in the balls, Brady felt better later. So, I mean, he played better later in the game, which is pretty amazing. I want to get to one email, but before we do it, next week we're going to focus on the props. We're going to focus on Super Bowl betting. I am curious, though, an estimated $10 billion projected to be bet on Super Bowl 49 worldwide. Over half of the adult Americans expected to have some money at risk on the game. Less than 1% of the total amount bet is expected to be wagered legally in Nevada. So all those things being said, My question is, how is Super Bowl betting different? Is it any different because of just the one game nature and the idea that there'd be more novices that would place wagers on this game?
Sure. What's going to happen is that the recreational money is going to dwarf the pro money. The pros are going to be on Seattle. They were on Seattle last year against Denver. But it doesn't mean that I can predict the line move correctly, saying that money's going to come that way, because everyone just saw how well they saw how well the Broncos and Manning were playing, and they were going to bet on the better offense, and they're probably going to bet on the Patriots. It doesn't matter that you can show all these stats saying the team with the better defense is such a good bet in the Super Bowl historically, because the guy putting $20 down, he doesn't move the line, but when there's 500 of them doing it, it eventually does have an impact.
Let's get to an email, Brian.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
And Steve, the email address, rtfp@rostucker.com. Just put even money in the subject line, and Meenish Bula, who helps us out, will send that to me specifically for this podcast. You better get it in, though, in the next couple days, because next week's our last show, I believe. So I would say get that email in the next couple days, or you can sign up, make a contribution at PayPal. We'll make sure it gets read next week. What do you got, Bri?
All right, guys. I started downloading the RTFP, that's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, about 18 months ago after Neil Reynolds recommended it on his weekly podcast, and I have not missed an episode yet. And yes, I'm not sad. By the way, I live in the United Kingdom. My first interest in the NFL came through gambling in the mid-1980s. I subscribed to your Even Money podcast at the beginning of the season, and I've caught all of them so far. When you have an opening discussion about the end of a game, and he references the Arizona-Philadelphia game from earlier in the season, it gives a lot of food for thought. Just going game by game, giving your picks, can get a little tiresome. An expanded conversation about detailed gambling topics at the start of each podcast may be of more interest in the future. Now, that's just a suggestion. Other topics you could discuss with Steve include how to put a value on home field advantage, taking all division games since the realignment. It works out to 2 points a game, but many commentators quote 3 points. Who is right? How do you put point values on individual players? Now, I know you touched on it during a previous show. For example, J.J. Watt, he's paid so much money, but he's worth less than a point a game on the lines. Another idea, discussing interesting things that happened in the previous week's markets. For example, over here in the U.K., Atlanta got bet at 1 to 100 near the end of the London game. Or some of the big bets landed in Vegas that week, or some of the near misses. Anyway, thanks for all the interesting insight. That's from Paul Richards.
From Yorkshire. Hull, York. Is it Yorkshire or Yorkshire in the UK? I don't know. But either way, some interesting questions there on home field advantage and value of player. I think it's a good suggestion, but we also know that people want to know what we think of each game. So there's only so much to get to, but this time of year is a good time for us to get to some of these questions. Any thoughts on home field advantage and individual players, Steve?
Yeah, and what a contrast, Ross. The Pilgrims, fleed persecution from in England to come to the United States, and now in the UK, you can just walk to any 7-Eleven. Right next to it, there'll be a betting window that you can wager legally on all these sports, and you can't do it here in the U.S. Isn't that funny? J.J. Watt may be worth more than a point, so it's quite possible that these individual injuries don't move the needle, but maybe they should. Maybe we're undervaluing. Look at how the Bengals without Gresham and without A.J. Green were just helpless against the Colts, and it barely moved the line. So maybe there is underreaction to some of these injuries. As far as home field, it's really about 2.6 points, and what we do is we just round it up to 3 most of the time when we're betting on the NFL. So but certain places like New Orleans, when they were rocking and they're having a great year, their home field's worth 4.5. When they're having a down year and they start dropping games at home, then that home field craters, probably was only worth 2.5 by the time the year ended.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, next week's going to be a big one, Steve. We're going to make a bunch of prop bets, obviously, place our bets on the Super Bowl, and we'll see what happens with all this Deflategate stuff over the coming days. Should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it. He is at Fezzik Sports. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. Brian's at RTF Podcast. Much appreciated. Anything any of you can do to support the podcast. You know our main sponsors, PokerShop.com, and then you got all the other things you can do at RossTucker.com, like PayPal and Amazon. Or you can just download the podcast on multiple devices so you have it anywhere you might be listening. I think we're done here. I'd say good luck. Steve, you don't bet the Pro Bowl, do you?
I don't bet the Pro Bowl. I do have one pick because I think the line's going to move, if I can give it out now before it moves.
Sure.
Historically in the Super Bowl, the first half is lower scoring than the second half. We'll talk about why next week. But let's play the first half under 24. We can get that minus 105. Let me put that in right now for a unit. Let's make it two units, right? Let's make that a two-unit play.
There you go. All right. There you go. You have a bet. All right. Good luck, everybody. Go place that bet that Steve just gave you.
Thanks for downloading today's Even Money podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast as well, all of which are available at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.